From popular speaker and number one sought-after success coach, author of the best-selling book Spirit-Driven Success and Mother of Five, Danny Johnson knows firsthand what it takes to achieve financial freedom and personal success in life. Raised on welfare, pregnant at 17, homeless at 21, and a millionaire at 23, Danny uses her unique strategies that have helped tens of thousands attain the same financial freedom. Her keen insights have helped many reach a personal success beyond their wildest dreams. Her popularity has spread internationally with numerous appearances on CNBC, TBN, ABC Family, Daystar, and CBN, as well as through her TV and radio show, Rise to Success.
How many of you know how to impress other people? Like how to really impress them? Okay, how many of you like to be seen as a professional at what you do? How many of you like to stand out in your company or organization far brighter than anybody else that's involved? And how many of you that have a career that you like want to be able to keep that career and not be replaced by somebody else? If you get other people to talk about themselves, themselves are interested in themselves. So if you get other people to talk about themselves, themselves are interested in themselves. So you're very interesting. Because you're talking about their favorite subject, themselves. Okay? And so you don't have to figure out what topic to talk about. All you have to do is talk about themselves. So if you talk about them, which means that you just ask questions and let them talk. Now they're totally interested in who you are and what you have, because you're the first person ever in their entire life that ever asked some questions about themselves and listened. So you stand out way ahead of everybody else, okay? This works in the job environment. This works for the marriage. It works for everything. Works for sales. Big time works for sales. And by the way, every person in this room is in some sort of sales. Every person in this room is in some sort of sales. If you are a school teacher, you are in sales. You have to look at who some of the favorite teachers are in your life. They were passionate and they sold you the information and you bought it wholeheartedly. You sell one of four things. You sell products, services, ideas, or yourself. For a job interview, you sell you. You sell you. You sell your assets and you buffer your liabilities in a job interview. In your workplace, you better be selling you every day. Otherwise, you'll be replaced by somebody else that is, I promise, selling themselves to your boss. If you're not selling you to your spouse, I promise you there's somebody else competing for the position. If you are not selling yourself to your clients, your current clients, I promise you there's somebody else selling to them. So for example, the hairdresser example I was given earlier, or the realtor example, okay? Do you know that I've never once come across, in all the years my husband and I are real estate investors, we have never come across an agent that we would ever use again. Wow! How pathetic is that? Isn't that sad? It's pathetic. So, how do you become the number one recommended person out of what you do? How many of you want to know? How do you become the number one recommended person out of what you do? That in boardrooms, when the company is talking about letting people go, when the company is talking about promoting somebody, that your name emphatically is the one that comes up. That when somebody needs to buy or sell something, cars, houses, insurance, whatever, how do you become the number one recommended source that people go to? All based on referral. All based on word of mouth advertising. How would you like to know how to do that? Okay. I've already been seeding some of it for you. Okay. One is help other people get what they want and you will get what you want. How does that work? Okay. So let's say that Tammy is at the grocery store and she is meeting somebody and comes into the understanding real quickly that this person could never buy a home. So she just drops it like a hot rock, or does she continue? Continue. Continue to honor the person. Continue to make them feel important. Continue to exchange names and phone numbers. Continue on. Why? Because you never know when that person's financial situation could change, and you never know who they're going to tell other people about you. If you make a lasting impression, you make them feel important, they're going to tell other people about you. So let me show you how to do it. Okay, I need somebody to role play with. Okay, so we're at Walmart. And I'm going to show you how to ask very simple questions that make somebody feel important, makes it simple to get a name and telephone number for something, okay? For whatever. Whatever it is that you have to market, and it could be that you might be marketing yourself because you're looking for a job. How many here are looking for a job right now? Okay, a few of you, okay? What I'm about to show you is going to land you a killer profession for yourself, and you will stand out way above everybody else that's applying for the same positions. And by the way, finding a job is nothing but sales. All sales. So if you still are without a job, it's because you don't realize it's sales and you suck at it so far. So leaving this event, you're going to know this is sales and I need to close the deal on the next interview that I'm in. Okay, we're standing in line at Walmart and let's go ahead and do this. All right, so I have a gigantic cart and 17 million kids around me. So we're standing in line. Here we are. And gosh, it's so busy here always. Do you shop here often?
Every weekend.
Really?
This line is crazy.
It is, I know. And you know, there's 25 thingies, but they don't have 25 people working the thingies.
I know, right?
It's just crazy. Yeah. What was your name?
Shandi.
Shandi. I'm Danny.
Nice to meet you.
So do you live around here?
Yeah, I live in Pleasanton.
You do?
I sure do.
Oh my gosh, you do. Really, what part of Pleasanton?
West Los Posada.
Really?
Yes.
That's a really beautiful area.
Yes, it is.
That's really, how long have you been there?
A little over a year.
Okay, what moved you there?
Just want to move to a better place.
Really?
San Ramon.
And so San Ramon wasn't good enough? You lived in San Ramon?
I did.
Are you so serious?
Pleasanton's more cool, calm, and collective.
Really?
It's my style.
Where at in San Ramon?
off of San Ramon Valley Boulevard.
Really?
By Bollinger Canyon Elementary School.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. All of the Bay Areas.
It really is.
Very, very nice. Now, what do you do in Pleasanton?
I'm a college advisor in Fremont, California with the University of Phoenix.
Oh, that's right. Now, University of Phoenix used to be in San Ramon.
A time ago it did.
Mm-hmm.
The lease ran out, though.
17 years ago.
Yeah.
When did they move there to Fremont?
A little over 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's wild. Now, did you go to that college?
I do.
Really?
Psych major.
No way. Okay,
yes.
And so are you married?
Not yet.
Not yet, so you're working on that.
Absolutely.
Now you are dating or?
We engage.
You engage?
Next year.
Next year you're getting married?
Absolutely.
Now how did you meet your fiance?
Online.
No way.
Way.
Really, tell me about that. Tell me about that.
You know, I met her through that MySpace.
Uh-huh.
Go figure. Yeah, we struck up a conversation. You know, we talked for a couple months. Then we met face-to-face and been hanging out ever since.
Okay, so meeting her on MySpace, was it a friend of a friend kind of thing?
No.
No, so just totally random.
Yep.
That's amazing. Now, what does she do?
She is a teller at a credit union,
mm-hmm.
and she works at Long's Drugs.
Oh, really?
Part-time.
Which Long's? In Pleasanton or?
San Ramon.
Okay, so, and you said she's a teller for what, the credit, which credit union?
Key Point Credit.
Okay. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So you're getting married in a year?
Yes.
So do you have kids?
I have one.
You have one. How old?
He'll be 5 in June.
Oh, how fun. That's cute.
Yeah, he's
What's
awesome.
His name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Yes.
That's a biblical name.
Yes, it is.
Is that why you picked it?
That's true.
Is it? That's how? Not from Isaiah Thomas, the basketball player?
Nah.
No.
Isaiah Samuel Goings.
Oh, that's...
That's two biblical
that's
names.
That's two biblical names. Yeah. That's really good. So do you go to church here in Pleasanton?
No, I used to go to church in Oakland.
In Oakland, where at?
Mount Sinai on 86 in Olive.
That's the wildest thing. Well, that's true. Gosh, this line still is just taking forever.
It really is.
Crazy. It's the craziest thing. So you've worked for University of Phoenix for how long?
A little over a year now.
Okay, what did you do before that?
Substance abuse counselor.
Really?
Really.
Tell me about that.
Oh, my goodness.
We're moving forward.
Yeah. Line 7 opened up on that, so I wish they
That's
get
cool.
some
I'm totally enjoying talking to you. So,
yeah.
So, what do you like about working with the University of Phoenix?
I just like to help people succeed in their life, you know.
So you were a substance abuse counselor before that. What
yes.
did you like about that?
I just love chemically dependent people, you know. I mean, I think the greatest thing on earth is to see somebody come, you know, come in the door with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they learn recovery. And they learn this skill, and then one day to become more successful than I do, make more money than I do.
That's really awesome.
That is awesome.
How did you get involved in that industry?
Some colleagues.
Really?
They were all counselors, and I was in another major, went to go visit them, and the semester later, I was a psychology student.
That's incredible. What company did you work with when you were doing the substance abuse counseling?
West Oakland Health Council.
So how many people would you say that you've counseled in your whole?
I would say caseload of about maybe 200 to 300.
Wow, that's a lot. So have you seen, what percentage have you seen get on the other side?
About 4%.
Really?
Yes.
And that's just industry-wide, that's the way that goes?
Yeah.
That's really, really sad, yeah?
It is, really.
Now, what kind of people have you seen go through there? Here's my credit card.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Rich, poor, black, white, blue. I mean, the addiction affects everybody.
It really does. It
Definitely.
Really does. Now, what do you not like about what you're doing right now for University of Phoenix?
Long hours.
Really?
Yeah, long hours.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I guess it's your turn. Here, I'll put my basket over here.
Thank you.
You know, I couldn't help but notice that you were saying that you obviously have a heart for people and that you like to see people succeed and you like to see them become even more successful than you are. And although you're probably very satisfied with the University of Phoenix and feel like you completely can do that there, mm-hmm. and you were saying that you don't like the long hours there, I don't know if what a company has to offer really would ever work for you or not. I'm not sure about that at all. But can I get your number? I'll get you some information and you might be able to pass it on to somebody else maybe that is in that 2% you were talking about or the 4% who's moving past their addiction issues and stuff like that. And it might or may not work out for you or anyone that you know, but at least it's worth something to check out because it definitely is about helping other people to succeed for sure. So what's a good time for me to contact you?
8:30 p.m.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. So I'll give you a call. Does tomorrow work?
How about tonight?
Okay, tonight?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd have to check my schedule on that, and I can let you know whether or not I'm available tonight at 8:30. Anyway, so what's a good number to contact you at?
1-2-3-4-5-6-7-9-2-5-4-6-2.
All right, cool. I'll leave you a message as to whether or not 8:30 tonight works, and if it does, then we'll talk tonight, and I can get you that information, and who knows? It may or may not work out, but at least it might be a way where you can still help other people succeed and moving themselves from that bad situation that they're in and being able to become even more successful, as you're saying, than you.
Awesome.
So, all right. Bless you, man. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I got to go. Okay. So there we go. Good job. Okay. So in getting him to talk about himself, what do we learn about him? And that's the key important thing to do is to learn about him. What did you learn about him? Yes.
He has a mentor and he's looking to get better in his life.
Okay, so he's looking. He obviously is not done growing. He wants to continue to grow himself with education. Yes.
Likes to help people get better.
He likes to help people even get better than himself. Yes.
He doesn't like the long hours.
Doesn't like the long hours. Good. Yes.
He has genuine interest in people.
He just does have a genuine interest in people. Okay. Yes.
5-year-old son.
Okay, so he has a 5-year-old son, and the son's name is? Nice. Nice, yes. Yes, he's around a lot of people who are trying to get ahead. Okay, yes, what else did you notice? He has a fiance with not one, but two jobs. I didn't read from him that he wasn't sure when they were getting married. I feel like he was very solid on we're getting married next year. But here's what's important that, and this is good that, because now we're going to different places, and this is very important. This is where people mess this concept up. And I'm glad you said that. Where people mess this thing called form up and focusing on the person is they begin to assume they will judge, which is you getting involved. If all you do is hear what he says and repeat it back to him, you're giving him what he wants and making him feel honored and special. Instead of assuming, and again, Crystal did the same thing. It's the same deal. You said he has a son, which means he might want to spend more time with him. That is assuming that you know what his needs are. But he didn't say that. He just said long hours. The long hours could equate to a lot of things. Long hours with a boss he doesn't like. It could be long hours away from his fiance. It could be long hours away from his son. But it's not for us to decide what that is at all. It's up to you. You can explore that to find out what matters to him. Okay? So that's what we found out. Let me show you how not to find out any of that information. Okay? We're still at Hopyard Road at the Walmart Supercenter. And here we are. Gosh, this line is so long. Do you shop here often?
All the time.
Yeah, I just can't make sense. There's 26 lines and, you know, there's always like half people working them or something.
Must be budget cuts.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's amazing. You know, you look like a really sharp guy and you just look like somebody that, you know, wants to succeed. I have got this amazing product that I think would really work out for you. In fact, just come here 1 second. Let me get my bag here. It is really amazing, and you know, and it's only $19.95, and I think that you would really benefit from this. Here you go. And so anyway,
I'm cool.
Really? Okay. So what did I learn about him? If I lead with my product, if I lead with what matters to me, I'm going to say that again. If I lead with what matters to me. If I lead with what matters to me, then he has a chance of not being interested in me. But there's 100% chance of him being interested in him. 100% chance of him being interested in him. But there's not 100% chance of him being interested in me. It just doesn't, there's no way to tell. So if you violate somebody with your needs and your stuff and your interests, well then, by golly, you deserve to hear, I need to think about it. Those are the excuses you're going to get. And write this down. 90% of all objections are provoked. They're provoked by a number of different things. Number one, they're provoked by your nonverbal communication, which is controlled by your beliefs and your actions. Number two, whether or not you made that person feel special and important. Let me tell you what doesn't make somebody feel special and important is this. We're back through the line again, okay? Man, this line is terrible. There's 26, you know, things. They don't have enough people. Budget cuts. You think that's what that is?
It's got to be something.
Yeah, I know. It's really amazing. So anyway, you know what? I'm from here, and I've been shopping here for a very long time, and I just don't understand what's going on. I should talk to the manager or something like that. Man, I just really had a hard time on my job today, and I, you know, my husband, he's just been driving me crazy, and, you know, I have all these kids, and I just hate standing in line like this. I have so many other things to do, and I just don't get it, you know, why they don't open up more lines. Yeah, anyway. Who'd I talk about? See how interested he is? You talk about yourself, they don't care. Okay, watch this. Okay, so you're a guidance counselor.
Yes.
You know, I wish I had a good guidance counselor. I think I would have done so much better in life. You know, good guidance counselors, I think, are probably hard to find. You know, that must be amazing that you get to go and help people to, you know, figure out what they want to do with their life. That must be pretty awesome.
Somebody got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. That's really awesome. Wow, that's incredible. So, and I bet you get to guide people to, you know, get into the medical field or get into the counseling field or get into the dental field. I mean, that must be really, really awesome how you get to do that. And I bet you love your job. And I bet you really enjoy everything that you're doing, and a good-looking guy like you probably married and probably have kids, and you probably are totally satisfied with what you're doing. There we go. How many of you get that response from people? He didn't ask me one question when I was forming him. He didn't know anything about what I had, didn't know anything about what the price was, what the product or the service or the idea. He didn't know anything about anything, but willing to give me his phone number and wanted me to call him at what time? 8:30. When? Tonight. When we lead with what we're excited about, they ask questions. When we talk about ourselves, they are not interested. But the way to get people interested in you is to let them talk about themselves. That's how they get interested. How long have you lived in Pleasanton? You said a year? San Ramon,
yes.
How long?
2 years.
2 years? Where were you before? Oakland.
Fremont.
That's a nice area, too.
Love it.
Yeah, that's great. So why did you move to all these different places?
Military man.
You are?
Love to travel.
Like, are you serious? You're in the military? Or?
I did my 2 years.
You did your
right before 9/11.
Ooh, that's interesting. Thank you, by the way.
Thanks
for serving. Okay. Go ahead and give him a hand as he sits down. Good job. Sandy, thank you. That's really wild. It's very simple to talk to people when you're talking to people about themselves. But I know some of you have a hard time drawing a bridge. I'm going to take three questions concerning everything I just talked about. Just three. Come on up.
Can you talk about using form in a group setting? Like presenting to a board?
Presenting to a board. Tell me about that.
Trying to figure out a solution for a company and going into a boardroom where it could be having a competitive bidding process,
mm-hmm.
and trying to set yourself apart instead of just being a guy there with the product, being there and finding out what they need, what's important to them.
Okay.
But it's a group setting and it's not just me and somebody at at the grocery store, which is no problem.
Sure. Okay, so my question is that have you ever thought of doing a little bit of research in advance and getting to know the people that are going to be in the board before you walk into the board meeting?
Yes.
And?
I know one or two of them, but I don't know all of them.
What's a way you can meet them?
Go to their parties.
Carell?
Yes.
Carell, come over here. Your name?
Cindy.
Cindy, come over here. Okay, so here we go. You said you know two of them, but not the rest of them.
I know one, two of them, yeah.
Okay, so is it possible that two of them might know the rest of them?
Yeah. Okay.
So here's the question I have for you. The question I have for you is this. Do you think it would be worth it to know who you're presenting to before you go present?
Yes.
So do you think that you would have a higher value and stand out higher than anybody else if you got to meet those people and build relationships before you walked into that boardroom so that you're not looked at just as another salesman with another product?
Yes.
So it kind of behooves you to take the one contact that you have, right? And to say something like this. We know each other, right?
Yes.
And I say, so Michael, how's it going?
Great.
Good. You know what? I have never found out this information. How long have you actually been with the company?
About 2 years.
What do you like about it?
We help people get food, homebound people, food that they need.
That's so awesome. That's what you like about it. What did you do before?
Yeah. Well, I've been involved with other groups around town, and I've got my business, and this is just something I like to do, give my time to.
Really? That's wonderful. What do you not like about it?
I don't feel like we do enough.
How so?
Well, there's still so many people that we don't help, and we obviously need to be doing that.
Okay. You know what, Michael? I really appreciate your heart to want to get food to people on the ground who don't have it, and I think that is so amazing. And I agree with you about feeling like we don't do enough for people, that there's just so many more people that are not being able to get the help. Would you be open to, or would you be willing to maybe help me get in touch with some of the rest of the board for that same exact focus and reason? I would love to just get to know them and find out, do they have the same exact concern? Is there any way that we can help them?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So what are some of your contacts with that board? Carell and Cindy.
Carell and Cindy. Okay.
Okay. What do you know about them? How long have you known them?
Not very long. We just kind of see each other once a month or so. But,
okay. All right, so Carell and Cindy, you don't really know much about them?
Not a whole lot, but I know.
Okay, all
right. I know where they go to church, their kids go to school and stuff
right.
like that.
So they're on the board because they really care about helping people?
For the most part, yeah.
Right, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, that's definitely would be my goal, too, is to definitely help more people. So do you have their numbers by any chance?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what's their phone number? Da-da-da-da-da-da? Okay, that's awesome. All right, awesome. So let's stop right there. You think you could do that?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty simple, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now you simply go to a Carell and you're going to form Carell.
Okay.
And get to know him. And then you would form Cindy and get to know her. Now, how do you combine that now in a group setting as you have found these common needs and goals that they have?
You have to find the one thing that brings them all to the room. That's their common ground.
Not necessarily. What you're looking for, if you're speaking to a group of people and you're going to take this concept of form and you're going to have it cross-section a group of 8 or 10 people or hundreds or thousands of people, it's not only the common ground, but it's also some very specific emotional things that matter to people. And so things like this. You start that board meeting with a statement like this. Ladies and gentlemen, it really is an honor. Actually, let me find this out first. So, Carell,
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank
good.
You.
What do you do?
Telecom consulting. Well, I'm unemployed right now. But
right, but you're a tech consultant. Yeah. Is that what you said? Tech consultant? Okay, now, see, not everybody on your board is all going to be about just helping people. There's some people that are there to organize the structure and help it to be more efficient and effective. So you don't want to assume that everyone's there for the reason you're there. How many of you can see that that would screw up a presentation? Yes, it does, because there's all different types of personalities that are in the room, and they all have different reasons. Write this down. What motivates? Motivates. What motivates? Motivates. So so he's, let's say he's technical. Let me see that real quick. Okay. Cindy, what do you do?
I get to help people lead healthier and more productive lives.
Really? Okay. So what would be the reason why she'd be on this board that delivers food to the homeless?
Healthy.
She wants them to be what?
Healthy.
Healthy. Okay. All right. So in this way, I would enter that meeting real simply. Ladies and gentlemen, I just first of all want to thank you so much for giving me the time to be able to talk to you today. And the truth is, I've really had a unique privilege of being able to get to know a couple of you. Carell, man, with your organizational skills and your effectiveness and efficiency with organizations really has helped me feel more comfortable about this organization. And Cindy, your heart for seeing people be healthy, not only just food, but being healthy. And that really was also very impressive, as well as, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, Michael. Michael, your just all-out desire for being able to want to do more for more people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's an honor to be in the presence of people like this, and I know that the rest of you probably share very similar goals, whether it is helping people to get healthier, whether it is helping people that are in need, whether it is helping the organization to succeed and coming up with more funding to be able to help it be profitable in the sense that we have more money to help more people. Awesome. Do you understand? Without spending that due diligence, again, earlier I said this, and I'm going to hammer this all weekend, 98% of the population does what they're paid to do at maximum. They do less than what they're paid to do. And 2% of the population creates more value than what somebody is paying for. So in this case, in your line of work, you're saying, how do I use this concept of form to speak to a group, to a boardroom of people? Well, it's very simple. But it's going to take doing more than what you're paid to do. Does that make sense? So it's going the extra mile and doing what other people wouldn't be willing to do. So in this case, it's making a connection, okay, using a common ground. Now, Carell, he might know two or three of the other board members who could introduce me to a couple of the other board members. And what would I say to Carell? It'd be something like this. Carell, you know, I really appreciate your just effectiveness and how organized you are and your heart to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. You know, my heart is to see the same exact thing happen with the organization. And I truly want to be able to see it be just as efficient and effective as you are. I was wondering if there'd be a way that you could introduce me to a couple of the other board members that you know so that we could really help the whole board do the same thing because we got the same exact goal in mind here.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. But if I were going to bore him to tears with this, Carell, my heart is really just to help people, and I just want to make sure they're getting the help that they need, and I just feel like they're not getting the help that they need, and it's just very frustrating that they're not getting help. So I just really want to help more people, and so I'm just wondering, could you introduce me to other people that want to help more people?
Let me think about it.
Yeah, let me think about it. But if I have the same goal he has, right, to help the organization become efficient, do I want that? Well, sure I do. But my motivation might be to help more people. But I'm communicating it to him as the same as, they have the same goal, they just communicate it differently. Okay? All right. Does that answer your question thoroughly? Okay? Awesome. Good job. Okay. Carell, you're next. Question.
Well, my question was about the way you presented it here. It was a lot of kind of personal question to a stranger, mm-hmm. And I was wondering, you know, you don't say anything about yourself, and suddenly you're kind of crossing those boundaries. Is that really appropriate, and how is there a way of doing it so they don't feel like invaded in a way?
Shandi, were you invaded?
No.
Huh.
I feel if I had been in this place, I would have felt like, oh, why is she asking me all those questions?
Gosh, this place is really busy. It's crazy how these lines are. Isn't it? Do you shop here a lot?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Does it make any sense to you how there are 26 teller lines or whatever, and they don't ever have all of them working? Isn't that strange?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. So are you from around here?
Well, not far. I'm from Milpitas. So.
Really? You're from Milpitas, California?
Yeah, just south from south from Fremont.
Yes. Wow. So you live there in Milpitas now?
Until recently, yeah.
Wow.
I'm
okay.
French.
I was going to say, where's your accent from?
Paris.
From Paris. So how long have you been in Milpitas?
4 months.
4 months. Now, how in the world did you get from Paris to Milpitas?
Through New York and Irvine and Newport Beach, something like that.
Seriously. Now, did you move there for a job or?
In a way, I moved there to look for a job.
Instead of Paris?
Instead of Irvine.
Instead of Irvine.
Yeah. How did Lost you my job in Irvine, moved there because of tech guy, Silicon Valley.
Wow. Okay, so how long have you been away from home?
4 years, 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So what originally moved you from Paris to Irvine?
Went to New York to do an MBA.
New York for an MBA. What college did you go to?
NYU.
NYU? That's where you went? Wow. Was that nice?
That was fun. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Now, what did you major in?
Finance.
In finance. Yeah. So are you looking for a position now for finance or?
No.
Tech?
Just tech, yeah.
Just tech.
But like business side of tech.
Okay, so what type of work do you do? Because tech is a big title.
So mostly telecom, or wireless, mobile, and stuff like that.
Okay, that's great. So you said you're looking for a job right now?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. The line's moving. So are you married?
Not yet.
Not yet. Engaged?
Almost there.
Almost engaged. Okay, so you haven't like moved a family from France to New York to Irvine to Milpitas.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Kind of. Oh, so you did do that. Yeah. Any kids?
Not yet.
Not yet. Wow, that's really wild. So, have you had any luck finding a position?
Nope.
Okay,
so I'm moving
interesting.
Back.
That's interesting. Here's my credit card. Thank you for processing that. Thank you so much. You know, what's interesting about what you're saying is that you're from France, which is very interesting to me. We work with a company who is looking for very internationally qualified individuals. So I don't know if you have the kind of qualifications or skill sets that we're looking for. You may or you may not. But why don't we go exchange phone numbers? I could get some information and, you know, who knows? It might be the kind of position you're looking for. It might not be at all, but at least it's a shot in the door.
Oh, sure, thanks.
Okay. Did you feel violated by my questions?
No. Okay.
What do I know about you? I know that you moved from France. I know that you went from New York and a finance degree all the way down to Irvine. You are involved with somebody, not yet having any kids, and you've traipsed this chick around the country and perhaps halfway around the world. I think that's pretty personal information. But you did not feel violated. Isn't that it?
No, yeah.
Do you know why you don't feel violated?
I don't know. It was...
Because you're talking nice about you. You're talking about yourself.
Sure.
People are comfortable talking about themselves. They're not uncomfortable talking about themselves. So if, however... I was trying to sell you something, then you feel violated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let me tell you how you're going to use this to get a powerful position. I've got a gal that was just here last month who beat out 10 other people who are much more qualified than her. She tripled her income from getting this position. She only had 1 year experience in it. She beat out somebody that had 10 years of experience, and all she did was this.
Oh, probably the girl I tell you a
Megan.
Guest yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. We have loads of testimonials like that. Because Megan went in there to get to know who she was talking to, that's what set her out far and above from everybody else that was applying. Because everyone else that is applying is doing what?
Selling themselves.
Exactly. They're sitting there talking about themselves. This way, if you walk into that interview and you find out information that you can about who's interviewing you, now you're making a friend and they feel compelled to want to help you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Cool. Oh, and by the way, Carell, if you are uncomfortable asking the questions, the person you're asking the questions from are also uncomfortable. Somehow you got it into your mind that it is not proper to ask personal questions of a professional person. I'm here to tell you that there's no such theory. And you just experienced the theory. Important when you're trying to communicate with people to do a couple more things. One is smile. Smiling makes a huge difference with people. It's massive. There's so few people that smile out there today. Yesterday, as we were going through customs, I watched a colleague of mine, friend of mine, go through to the customs officer and plant a gigantic smile on her face. And right away, this man was fully captivated by her. So then I looked to each customs place, and guess what I found? People looking like criminals. What do you look like when you go through customs? How many have ever gone through customs before? So when you go through, I want you to think about it. When you go through customs, most people are there going, they look like they've committed a crime. They look like the terrorists that the country seems to be looking for and can't find one. But it's so interesting that she walks up with a big old smile on her face and she is forming the customs officer, and they are laughing and having a good time. Smile. Smile, smile, smile. Smiling makes you more attractive. It makes you better looking. Even if you only have 4 black teeth left in your mouth, you look more attractive smiling with those 4 black teeth than you do with no smile at all. But Danny, I don't have anything to smile about. I just lost my job. I just lost my dog. I just lost my spouse. I just lost my friends. Well, you're going to continue to lose more with that attitude. You will continue to lose everything else you have. Complaining opens the door for losing more. Amen. It never opens the door to gain. It always opens the door to loss. So you have to determine which way you're going to go. You're going to smile, or are you going to look like everybody else? Do you stand out in a crowd? Some of you are under the impression that in order to stand in a crowd, you have to be good looking. Whatever. Do you know how many good looking, miserably depressed people there are on the planet today? There's nothing appealing about those people. Nothing. You don't have to be good looking to be attractive. You just have to smile and let other people be more important than you. People try so hard. They try so darn hard to figure out how to grow a business or how to be picked for a job. They try so stinking hard and they think it's rocket science. Smile! It might work! Something so simple. What does this say? It says confidence. But Danny, I'm not confident. Who cares? Who the heck cares if you're confident or not? I promise you this. You could trick yourself into believing that you are. Just by smiling, you could trick yourself into believing that you are confident. And then the next day, guess what happens? You're a bit more confident. And then the next day, you're a bit more confident. What else does a smile communicate? 93% of all communication is? Non-verbal. So a smile is silent. A smile is silent. It's free. Completely changes your 93% nonverbal communication with just showing all your teeth, even if you don't have any. And guess what a smile does? Number one, it's contagious. Right now, it's rare. How many of you want to stand out? Obvious for everybody to see? Try this. It works really well. You will stand out in a plane of 364 people. You will stand out in your workplace smiling. But Dan, you don't know my financial position. You don't have to show it on your mouth. You don't have to show your financial disaster on your mouth. Could you imagine if I showed my financial disaster on my mouth when I was homeless? I got 40 people to give me a check for $125 written out to my name. What else does a smile communicate? It's inviting. You're approachable. That you like them. You actually honor people when you smile to them.
3 months ago, I was unemployed, looking for work, not having much success. Business wasn't working very well. Came across Danny Johnson and found the skills of what she had to give me, allowed me to form 15 vice presidents, which upon I got the job, a 6-figure corporate trainer position, and that's before I even put my business together. Just the basic skills of what we are offering here, basic business communication skills, will help you in every part of your life. No excuses. Get here. If you want to change your life, this is the place to go.
And we have sent several of our employees through her system And since then, in the past year and a half, we've increased our business by 3 additional retail stores. It's doubled. We now have 6 retail stores. We have tripled our revenue, and we've paid off $25,000 in personal debt, so it's been awesome. I highly recommend that you do whatever it takes to get to her next seminar.
Taking that knowledge and applying it to my job, within 90 days, I've been advanced twice. I'm the final interviewer now for all hiring in the company, and 2 of my team members are in line for promotion. As well now, as a direct result. If your business is dealing with people, whether it be tech support on the phone or retail or anything, these skills are invaluable.
Just listening to that one session changed my whole life, and walking out of that, I was able to get a raise that I wasn't expecting, get a bonus at the end of the year that just blows my mind. It was so generous just from sewing back into my coworkers and my boss of the things that I've learned here.